First Corinthians chapter 10, I want to read a very simple verse, and it's verse 26. It says, "For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof." Let me read it again. "For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof." So title of this message today is Overflow, the Abundance Producing Power of Expecting Great Things. Expecting. I find if a lady is expecting, she will birth. She'll birth either alive or she'll birth death, but she's going to birth one way or the other. Now notice this simple verse. It's a small one, but yet it has great dominion in it. "For the earth is the Lord's." Now, if we an heir and a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ, then we have an inheritance called the earth. So we should expect spiritually, physically, financially, everything God owns if we are his children. Now, write this down. I'll probably say it every time. You cannot have what you speak against. Write that down. If you're taking notes. If you speak against prosperity, you're going to be broke all the days of your life. If you speak against healing, your second house is going to be a hospital. You're going to be sick. You speak against salvation, you're not going to make it to heaven. You speak against that girl, she ain't going to marry you. Whatever you speak against, you cannot have. Now, if you hear something that you might disagree with, before you speak against it, put it on a shelf, meditate about it, pray about it, because God may be trying to give you a revelation to produce a manifestation. Because a revelation without a manifestation is a missed opportunity. You see, a true revelation will always produce a manifestation, whether it's spiritual, physical, or financial. Because, see, you know it. You went beyond that stage of belief, of trying to convince yourself that this may work. There's no such thing may or might in God's word. It's something about faith. You know, God gives you a very simple definition. Now, faith is. Hebrews 11:1. That's it. I mean, that's as good as it gets. It is. You ain't got to try to conjure it up. You ain't got to try to pull it up. It just simply is. What you have to do is learn to apply that application. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? Title of this message today is Overflow, the Abundance Producing Power of Expecting Great Things. People have asked me a lot in my ministry. Yo, you know, I've been watching you for over 28, 29 years. You always seem happy. I expect a good day every day. I expect abundance. I expect overflow. Why? Because I've had lack and I don't like it. I was raised poor, but actually I wasn't. That's a four-letter word. I was raised po. That's a two-letter word. Po mean this. Thieves brought stuff to our house. That's how po we was. People steal stuff. Better go bring us some people down there. Glory to God. So what I'm going to be dealing with overflow in all my sessions, including my night session. Now you got to understand something. Write this down. You have got to accept or convince yourself that this overflow is for you. Not for somebody else, but for you. How many of you believe it's for you? How about you watching by television or watching by internet or whatever, or listening by radio, whatever you are hearing or watching this telecast. When you understand something, you have to convince yourself that this belongs to you. Now, people have asked me many, many times why I'm so happy. I realize that everything I see, I'm an heir to it. Why? Because of 1 Corinthians 10:26. "For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof." So as full as it gets, it still belongs to him, and I'm an heir and a joint heir, so it belongs to me. Now, you can't convince me that that's not true. I have convinced myself that God can't lie. Now, when you do that, it makes for a lot easier life. That doesn't mean you don't have trouble in life. I have troubles just like anybody else. But see, I already know the end result if the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And God can't lie. So let me read that verse again, 1 Corinthians 10:26. "For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." Now, I want to deal with overflow as in expecting it every day. See, it's not an overflow day or an overflow month. This is an overflow year. You see what I'm saying? I'm talking every day, every month, through this year and the year that comes. You should expect that. You ought to get up saying, "Lord, what I'm going to get hit with today?" Not something bad, but something wonderful. I'll be dealing with one of my sessions later in the week called Overflow, a Spiritual Tsunami. Oh, God, this is going to be some heavy stuff. Overflow and abundance. I mean, it's going to take me 5 days to get through it, but I'll get it. Now, I want you to see this. Expecting great things. When Kathy told me she was expecting Jody, I wasn't moved by what I see because I couldn't see anything. She had just come back to the doctor and said that they said that she was going to have a child. But immediately from the minute she said that, and the minute that doctor confirmed it with the test, we were expecting someone to come to our house. We didn't know what she looked like. We didn't know she was a she. Didn't know she was a he. We knew she was one of them. She's not a he-she, that's for sure. We know that. We knew she gonna be he gonna be a he, or she gonna be a she. Just that simple. Not a he-she. And I'll leave the rest of that to you thinking. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now write this down if you're taking notes. When overflow is seen, notice, not just talked about, seen, people recognize that the Lord is with you. Even in the Bible, people saw the blessing that was upon Isaac, a laughter man. Isaac, a type of Christ, a lamb being led to the slaughter, yet saved. So, you know, it's very, how do I say it in tongues so much easier than I can in English. You must expect for people to see overflow in your life, whether it's spiritual, physical, or financial. Overflow of love. I didn't hear Dr. Billy Graham say this. I read it and I thought it was one of the finest statements I ever heard in my life. And when he was 75 or 76 years old, he went to a meeting where the Clintons were. President Clinton and Mrs. Clinton. And that was going on when he was president. He was having all that trouble, you know, and all the kind of different things about his personal life. His daughter, I think her name was Gigi, I think is her name, was Billy Graham's date that night, his daughter. She took him. He was 75, 76 years old. So when they got back in the car and they were going back to the hotel or whatever, his daughter said, you know, Dad, talking to Billy Graham, boy, it must be tough, you know, I mean, the media, all those kind of different things. Everybody's saying those things about President Clinton because he sat with the Clintons and everything. He was with the Clinton. And look what Billy Graham said. I love it. That's why I believe God elevated that man to the stature that he is. He said, well, the Holy Spirit's job is to convict. He said, the Father's job is to judge, but our job is to love. Isn't that good? Now, Dr. Graham, that's about as good as it gets. In other words, the Holy Spirit's job is to convict. And then the Father's job is to judge. But your job is to love. But do you have enough love overflowing not to convict or judge? Stay within the calling or that God has called you to do. So when overflow is seen, people recognize that the Lord is with you. Now, the first thing they're going to recognize is naturally prosperity. If you're driving a nice car, wearing a nice suit or whatever, you know, the people say, boy, they must be doing good. But there are a lot of people that have those things that are not walking in overflow. They have no overflow in their family. They don't have any overflow in their friends in any way, shape, or form. I mean, I had a man tell me one time, he said, boy, that guy, he got new friends all the time. I said, I don't trust that. Because if you don't have no old friends, maybe you're not friendly. See, if you got a new friend every week, my God, maybe something, and you don't have any old friends, hey, might have been your friend for a long time. No, well, maybe you're not friendly. Because a friend sticketh closer than a brother. So when I see people that have been friends for years, like Brother Copeland, Sister Copeland, Jerry and Carolyn Savelle, they've been friends, I guess, what, 30, 35 years, maybe a little longer than that, or something like that. Well, they're friendly. But if you got a new friend every time I see you, something wrong. Because you must not be friendly because nobody want to hang around you. That's not overflow. See, that's a lack of love instead of overflow of love. So when overflow is seen, people recognize that the Lord is with you. Now, I expect this every day in my life because the earth is the Lord's. I've had a lot of people say, who do you think you are? I said, the man that owns this place. I said, now, what part of that you don't understand? Now, whether they believe it or not, that doesn't make any difference to me. You see, the other day, the Lord told me, see, I've been believing for the unbelievable for many, many years. I mean, taking the unbelievable and the impossible and turning it into the possible. And a lot of times, you know, you want to tell somebody because it's rhema to me, but it's not rhema to them. It's not even logos, much less rhema. So the other, I find a lot of people say, oh, that's impossible. You can't believe for that kind of stuff. You can't do that. Then it dawned on me, I'm going to quit talking about my vision and dreams of people that don't believe. Then I thought, well, who would believe these impossible things? Me. So I went and stand in front of a mirror and talked to myself. I had Jesse the spirit talk to Jesse the soul so Jesse the soul could be transformed and take care of Jesse the body. Because everything I said to myself, I believed. Amen. I came out of that hotel feeling good. I wasn't depressed. I'm believing for the unbelievable. Amen. I'm tired of paying television bills. Amen. I pay millions of dollars. I want my own satellite. I don't care if it costs $500 million. I don't care. That ain't my job. That's my job not to pay for it. My job is to believe for it. Amen. Nobody owns space. The Lord took me outside not long ago. He said, look up, Jesse, it's at night. I thought, oh, Lord, I hope he ain't doing this Abraham thing. Me and Kathy done had enough of babies. We don't want no babies. Jesus, that ain't over for us. That's a curse from, oh. Now, grandbabies, okay. You know, they just stay with you a while, then you send them home. He said, look up, Jesse. What do you see? I said, oh, Lord, darkness, stars. He said, no one owns space. I said, that's great. Then it hit me. He said, where do you think your program? Your program's being beamed through the air right now on all these, whether they're secular or whether they're Christian satellites or secular, whatever. You know, say it's all being beamed. He said, how come? What? Nobody owns it. I said, Lord, that's unbelievable. He said, that's why I'm talking to you about it. I'm looking for somebody that'll believe it. Amen. Now, that's overflow. He said, not just one. How about a network of them? He said, the Weather Channel has them. The military definitely has them. He said, you've paid for all those. If you pay taxes, you paid for every one of them satellites up there. Think about that. So I thought, well, that may not be today. No, it may not be today, but it's coming. Well, you know what? I went and tell some of that people went, oh, that's crazy. So I just went and looked at myself in the mirror and told it to myself again. I amen myself. I shouted. I gave myself a standing ovation. I said, praise God, Jesse. Now, how that's going to get done? The same way when I didn't have enough money to fill up a Toyota, the Lord told me to bleed for an airplane. Same exact way. It don't make no difference. God don't care, you know, about that kind of stuff. He handles the how-to. We just handle the belief part. Now, that'll come to pass one day. I'm telling you, that'll come to pass. It'll set it. And then you know who's going to pay for it? Give me the camera. Put it on my face. You know who's going to pay for it? You people that don't believe in us. Y'all going to pay for it. There you are. Yeah. Because you see, you're going to buy time on that satellite. All you cell phone companies. Glory to God. And I can just beam the gospel anywhere I want. And just hook them. I mean, that's all you're doing. We're all buying satellite time to start with anyway. Why can't we have our own? If you don't think I'm serious about this, I'll call NASA. I said, what's a good satellite? He said, $500 million. I said, oh, Jesus. $500. I said, can that handle cell phones, ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox? Can handle anything? He said, oh, yeah. I said, how much it would cost me for y'all to bring it up? He said, $100 million. So I called Russia. I did. I ain't lying. Listen, I'm a negotiator. I serve a Jewish God. I serve a Jewish God. He don't pay retail, and neither does Jesse. Paying no retail. And I'm going to tell you why I'm not paying no retail. Not because I can't, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Why should I pay for something that's already mine? You understand what I'm saying? So I call, I say, how? It's the same rocket. It don't make a lick of difference. Yeah. I said, what would it cost y'all to bring that thing? They said, we'll do it for $20 million. I save $80 million for just a phone call. I said, Lord Jesus, there's competition out here. Now you see, I had to start somewhere. I know that sounds crazy, but that's all right. I ought to be able to say that here, because this is faith has been preached here for 30 something years. My Lord, you understand what I'm saying? So I ought to be able to say that. I'm just tired of, why does somebody else got to own it all? Why can't we, the body of Christ, own it? That's overflow. Now that's what I'm called expecting great things. Title of the message, Overflow, the abundance producing power of expecting great things. So overflow is all about being thoughtful toward others. Write that down. If you want overflow, it's all about being thoughtful toward others. It is never given exclusively to yourself. It must be given to others. See, God blesses you with overflow so you can be a blessing. So you can be a distributor, not just a contributor. Now, if you're a distributor and a contributor, you're controlling the whole destiny of that thing. You're distributing and you're contributing all at the same time. So in other words, if there's any mistakes, the only person you can blame is yourself. Let me say it again. Overflow is all about being thoughtful toward others. Yeah, I'm not interested in anybody else knowing who I am. I don't mean an arrogant sense. I mean, on television, a lot of people, you can't go nowhere. People just, they'll follow you to the bathroom. They'll get in the next stall next to you and want to talk to you about God. You know, you don't think very well when you're in a stall. Now, that sounds crazy, but, you know, some people will do whatever. But overflow is all about being thoughtful toward others. It is never given exclusively to yourself. It must be given to others. Now, you see, when I realized that, and then the Lord said, let me tell you something about overflow. It is a great and wonderful thing, but you got to be careful with it. Why? Beware that what comes easily may become lightly valued. A lot of people ask me all the time. See, I find if you just get something so easy, a lot of times you don't appreciate it. Then you'll find someone that really worked very hard for something. You'll notice this. They're going to appreciate them like a child, you know, and you teach them one. Boy, it's like my daddy first let me drive his car. First thing I did was spin the tires. I was burning blue smoke. I mean, I was burning them tires up till I bought my first set of new tires. And then I came like an old man. Bless God, I was going to drive 35 miles an hour. Why? Because, man, them tires cost a lot of money. But when daddy gave them to me, they were not valuable to me. They were lightly valued. But when I bought my first set, I realized that old man was talking about. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So overflow is not only expecting, but producing great things. See, so what are you saying here? I'm saying when overflow is seen, people recognize that the Lord is with you. I had one of the most wonderful statements ever given to me at my ministry in New Orleans, Louisiana. And I don't mean this in an arrogant sense. Everything we've ever touched has prospered. Everything I've ever told any partner, I have done. I mean that. Because you see, my promises are not promises to you. Now, let me get some revelation here. My promises are prophecies to you. Amen. See, then I read something in the scripture. Well, I was at Oral Roberts. Let me just stop for a minute. The Lord said, say this, and then I'll finish this. I was at Oral Roberts University, and they asked me if I would preach to the student body. Now, I called this day academic day because there were a lot of theologians that were there. And I was invited to speak. And they were homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological. I thought they were brilliant. Or they had all the degrees on, you know, the whole ball of wax. And I was the last one to speak to the student body. And the theologian right before me, who was a phenomenal man, just brilliant, he said, ladies and gentlemen, there's over 7,000 promises in the Bible. I thought, praise God, I'm going to write that down. There's over 7,000 promises in the Bible. I will put that in my book, Lord. I said, glory to God. And the Lord spoke something to me. He said, Jesse, they're promises to him, but they're prophecies to me. I said, what'd you say? What'd you say, Jesus? He said, Jesse, they're promises to you and him, but they're prophecies to me. He said, I'm not promising nothing. I'm prophesying. See, if I walk up to you today and you needed the healing in your body, and I would say this. Jesus said that by his stripes you were, or in the book of Peter, Jesus said by his stripes you were healed. You'd say this. I'm standing on that promise and I'm believing God for my miracle, right? But if I said this, thus saith the Lord thy God concerning your body, by Jesus stripes you are healed. I said the exact same thing. Difference is I prophesied it. See, God didn't promise anything. He's prophesied. It's like when you're giving. If you want, people say, well, how am I going to get a prophecy from God? Go get you one of them red ones. Everything he says is prophecy. Luke 6:38, you know the song. Given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure you meet withal, it shall be measured to you. You only got one word in that whole verse. Give. Then God goes slap crazy in that verse. God go, wow. He said, and it shall be given unto you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together. Run it over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure you meet withal, it shall be measured unto you. Sound like he prophesying to me. Isn't that good? You see, God's promises are not promises, but prophetic utterances. He says, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that goes out of my lips. Psalms 89:34. He said, if you can ever get me to say something, I'll do it. Then he said something to me. This is happening very, very fast. He says, my word shall not return unto me void. He said, but it's very possible my word can return unto you void. I got my mind to thinking. I said, well, if your word doesn't return unto you void, why does your word return unto me void? He said, you don't believe it like I do. If Jesus said, by his stripes you were healed, you know what people say? Well, I'm standing on the word of God for that. When the Lord get ready, he's going to heal my body. What? What? Well, when the Lord get ready, he's going to heal my body. What? See, you don't believe the word of God the way God believes it, because you're looking at your sickness instead of looking at your prophecy. You know what prophecy is? History wrote in advance. Write that down. That's history wrote in advance, brother. When it's falling from the lips of God, it's going to come to pass. Glory to God. You see that? So when you say, well, I'm believing God for my healing. He said, you were. I'm not telling you to deny your sickness, because that would be wrong to do so. Yeah, but I am sick, but I'm trying to get you were healed. By his stripes, you were healed, but I am sick. I know you am sick, but I'm trying to change your am sick to were healed. Well, I'm trying to get you to believe the word the way he believes it. Amen. You've heard me use this illustration before. Many times you've had children, you tell them, look, it's time for y'all to go to bed. Y'all got to go to school in the morning. Okay, mom. Okay, daddy. Y'all going to bed now. Get in there and go to bed. Okay. And boy, you hear them playing the dial. I told y'all go to bed. And you know children can't sleep that they've been beat twice, threatened with their lives. Don't make me come up there, kill every one of you. You know, all that kind of stuff. Now, why didn't they go to bed? Well, because they're rebellious and stubborn. No, they're not rebellious and stubborn. How can they be rebellious and stubborn? They're your children. You're a godly person. They're not rebellious and stubborn. You're not producing bad seed. You're producing good seed. Let me tell you why they didn't go to bed. They didn't believe your word the way you did. And that's exactly what's happening in the body of Christ all over. We don't believe the word of God the way he does. That's why Jesus never struggled. You never heard Jesus say, "Won't you help me today? My donkey broke his leg. We need a new set of hooves here. Things are bad. If I don't hear from you today, I'm going to have to ride Peter's back all the way to Capernaum." No, don't work that way. No, no. He said, "I want a donkey, never been rode. You might want a car, never been drove." Beware that what comes easily may become lightly valued. So I'm dealing with overflow, the abundance producing power of expecting great things. So when you understand that, remember, overflow is always thoughtful toward other people. Now, overflow is never taken by surprise. It is never overtaxed by the need. And it's never tied to our way of working. You see, you got to understand something. You can never figure out everything God's going to do. He gives you an insight, a concept, and an idea. But brother, the full outline comes as you minister it or as you live it. Do you know nothing changes unless it's preached? Nothing. Preaching is proclaiming and teaching is explaining. When you preach something, I'm going to tell you something. All the black people that are in here today, if Martin Luther King would not have preached that, bless God, that you have civil right, he preached it, he proclaimed it, and then all during that time, walking in Selma, Alabama, he was teaching it, and he was proclaiming it, proclaiming and teaching, proclaiming and explaining, and all of a sudden it changed America's way of thinking. Amen. It can happen the same way in Congress. Nothing changes until it's preached. That's proclaimed. Then once you proclaim it, then you tear that thing down and explain it. It's called teaching it. You see my point? Nothing changed. You can look through the history of America, or if you're in another country watching today, the history of your country. Nothing changes till somebody preaches it and proclaims it. Then after it's proclaimed, people go, "Wow, but what does that mean?" Then explaining comes. That's why Jesus, how can they hear of faith lest they have a preacher? You, a proclaimer, say, "I'm a preacher." A proclaimer will perk your ears up. Oh, a teacher like Brother Copeland will explain it. You got that? You understand what I'm saying? And then overflow begins to flow in every area of your life. So overflow is never taken by surprise. It is never overtaxed by the need and is never tied to our way of working. There's a lot of things I thought I would do to cause overflow to come to pass, and I had delayed my overflow. God said, "What you doing?" I said, I'm leaving for my overflow. He said, "You're in my way. Go home. Let me handle this." Okay. And I just went home thinking, this ain't going to work. Before I got home, the thing was done. You see, so I'm expecting, I'm believing God constantly, constantly, constantly. But then I got to a point, I said, I want to go higher than believing God. Because you can spend your whole life believing. I want to know God will. Now, how do I do that? Faith cometh. So how do I get it to come to me? By hearing, not by heard, by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing, proclaiming and explaining, preaching and teaching, proclaiming, explaining. I mean, constantly. So after a while, something that's unbelievable and something that's impossible becomes very easy. And when you get it here first, it'll manifest itself in the natural a lot quicker before you can get it here. You see, now faith is substance. But you got to believe first that now faith is. That's the hardest part of that verse. To tell you the truth, God's talking more about stuff and overflow in that verse than he's talking about faith. Now, faith is a substance of what?
Faith.
A what?
Faith.
What?
Faith.
The evidence of what?
Faith.
Things. Dealing with things. Mark 11, 23, 24. Whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive, you shall have them. Whatsoever things you desire, things. Have you noticed that? See, you got to understand something. When you understand that God's word is not promises but prophetic utterances, you'd be talking to that mountain. If you would say to that mountain. But you know what? You're not talking to that mountain because you don't think it's your mountain. You said, "Lord, talk to that mountain." God ain't going to talk to that mountain. You know why? It's not his mountain. That ain't God's mountain. That's your mountain. He said, if you would say to that mountain, "Be thou removed. Be thou cast in the sea." You got to know where to tell your mountain where to go. You got to know where to tell it to go. You got to get it out of you. If you would say, "But I want God to do it." No, no. You want God to make you a mountain climber. He ain't going to make you a mountain climber. He's going to make you a mountain dissolver. He said, if you would say. See, the primary Christian world, they've been climbing mountains for centuries. Grandma almost made it to the top, Brother Jesse, but she slid down and killed herself. The reason why God ain't talking to your mountain, it's not his mountain. That's your mountain. If you would say to that mountain, if you just knew what was on the other side of that mountain, you'd be talking to it. On the other side of that mountain's your money. On the other side of that mountain's your healing. On the other side of your mountain is that overflow. Lord Jesus coming at you. But you gonna have to talk to your mountain. God ain't talking to your mountain because it's not his mountain, it's yours. Do you get that? And once you level that baby down, here come the overflow of expecting great and wonderful things. So it's never surprised overflow. It's never overtaxed by the need. And it's never tied to our way of working. Now watch this. You must write this down. This will help you. I'm trying to teach you because I'm going to do this in 5 days. You must learn that the audacity of faith, audacity, expects great things. The audacity of faith will make you seem like you're a fool. Because it's got audacity. Who do you think you are? 100-year-old man telling everybody he's going to get his wife pregnant at 90. Now, that's audacity. Or just downright ignorance. But you know where doubt comes from? Ignorance. Doubt comes from ignorance every time. Because you see, you think you know something and you don't. And you'd be surprised how highly developed the church world is in doubt. And then when something pure is said in faith, and pure and said in overflow, they go, oh, that's that heresy. No, that's ignorance. You're talking ignorant. Because you see, you're saying that God can't do that. The Lord doesn't heal 100%. Yes, he does. Why do you blame God for your inadequacy to receive what he said? Why don't you turn around and look at yourself? He heals 100%. He saves 100%, but it's up to you to accept it. But I did the best I could. But he never told you to do that. He said, go do the work that I do and do it greater. You see, I don't like the word better, which means you wasn't working at full speed when you started. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good here. They want me to deal with overflow and prosperity. I'm telling you, you want to get some of this stuff? I don't like this, but I better. That means, my God, then you've been slipping around. Just you hadn't been doing worth a flip. If you got better, you should have started off with best. Did God send Gabriel to die for you? He would have done it. Did God send Michael the Archangel to die for you? No, he would have done it. No, he sent his best. For God so loved the world, he sent his only what? Begotten son. So when somebody, one of my employees said, boy, we're doing better with that. Better? Well, it means that, so you've been taking my money all this time. You wasn't working at 100% level. You wasn't producing. But see, they want me to give them overflow. Excuse me? Overflow. You're going to have to work. It's like one man told me, Bud Jester. Bud Jester. I said, what, boy, what? I'm going to quit my job and live by faith. I looked at that boy. I said, boy, if your faith doesn't work with a job, what make you think your faith going to work without a job? The spirit of stupid come upon you, boy. That's the spirit of stupid. I ain't do it, faith. Oh, Jesus. Now, the reason why I brought that analogy out, that's audacity. And see, people can't handle that. But that's what faith is. It's odd. Man, it's got audacity to it. Elijah told a woman, told a king, according to my word, it ain't raining. See you later. Bye. Out the door, years of famine hit water. Man, I mean, my God, it was bad. But you know why he could say that? He said, because the Lord God of Israel is behind me. In other words, God had his back. And God sends him to a widow woman. Ain't that a kick in the head? A widow woman in Zarephath. Got one pancake and her boy's starving. Didn't even ask the woman her name. Could have said, hello, I'm Elijah. What's your name? He said, go get me some water. Fetch me some water that I may have a drink. I've been trying to teach that to Kathy for 35 years. She said, what's the matter? Your leg's broke? I said, no, my leg's not broke. We believe in healing in this house. You need a miracle? I said, oh, why am I wanting no speech? I just want some water. She said, how come you can't get your own water? I said, because I'm changing the television with the clicker here. That's why I'm like, water. Then I read her the next verse. The Bible says she went and did. I said, Kathy, this getting water is scripture. She said, yo, mama. She said, you stretching that verse. I said, yeah, but it sure sounds so good, stretch. Don't make glory to God. Now, why would God send a preacher to a woman who only got one pancake? One pancake, that's it. Certainly, there's got to be somebody in Zarephath with some money. At least one person in Zarephath got to have some money. Why would God send this man to a woman who only got one pancake? Her boy's starving. They're going to eat it and die because she's the one who needs help. She's the one who needs overflow. The rich man didn't need no overflow. She needed overflow. And she gave one pancake and got a full year of grocery. Aunt Jemima was born that day. You understand what I'm saying? One pancake. Oh, let me get back to some revelation here. Starting to get some of that humor coming out here. Let me go back to this revelation. You must learn that the audacity of faith expects great things. It's audacity. It expects great things. Romans 4, verse 17. Turn to Romans 4, verse 17. Let me show you some audacity. Let me show you what will make most of the church world mad. This verse right here. Romans 4, verse 17. It says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Talking about Abraham. Romans 4, 17. Before him whom he believed. Past tense. He wasn't believing, trying to get it to work. Believed. Now he's beyond the level of belief and now walking into the level of know. I know in whom I have believed. Even God, who quickeneth the dead. And I love this verse. And calleth those things which be not as though they were. That's why people think faith people are crazy. Who do you think you are? Calling those things that be not as though they were. You are cocky. No, that's the I'm not cocky. That's the audacity of faith. Faith decrees, boy. It is. It don't make no, it don't care about your criticisms. It stands. That's got audacity. Let me say it again. You must learn that the audacity of faith expects great things. So when you call those things to be not as though they were, you say, bless God, this is my year overflow. I'm going to be so blessed in the city, blessed in the field. I'm going to have more money. I'm going to have more health. I'm going to have more love. People look and you go, he's cocky, arrogant. Who do you? That's audacity. That's the audacity of faith. I said, don't get mad at me. This is the definition of faith. You got a problem with that? Talk to God. God said, Deuteronomy 8:18, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. For it is he who giveth thee power to get wealth. What are you mad at me for? It ain't my fault. I just accepted that power of expecting great things. And then they say, yeah, why don't you finish that over? Well, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, to establish the covenant which he sware to his fathers as it is this day. See, that's for the work of God. True. But if you back up about five verses, if you back up, he said, when you built beautiful houses and dwell in there, when your silver and gold is multiplied, watch this, when all you got's multiplied, then go to verse 18, remember the Lord thy God, tell everybody I did it, for I'm the one who gave you the power to do so. He said, now establish my covenant, which you swore to your fathers as it is this day. Do you see that? That's audacity of faith. See, that's what produces overflow. That's what... I'll explain it. That's what make a prophet unusual. You know what my definition of a prophet is? Let me just cut. Let's cut all the religious stuff and all the... Let's just cut to the chase. A prophet is an alarm clock. That's exactly right. You ever notice about an alarm clock? It goes off and shakes up people. If you sleep, what is that? Even if you're awake, what is that? And all when a prophet speaks, thus saith the Lord God, wham, something begins to happen. You know what an evangelist is? That's a fire truck. That's a fire truck. He's on fire. You're getting people saved, getting people, he's on fire. And you know what people do? They get off the road when a fire truck's coming by. Then they get back on the road and follow the truck, see where the fire is. That's an evangelist. A prophet is an alarm clock. Put that. The fivefold ministry are noisy people. Noisy. And I'm not just talking about being loud or screaming or shouting, Lord, Lord. No, I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about, they're so noisy in the spiritual world that it's shaking up the satanic world. Overflow. The abundance producing power of expecting great things. Now watch this. Now, as I told you a while ago, God spoke this to me. If you can contain what God has for you, then you're not in overflow. Can I use Kathy? Can I use you as what happened the other day for you? She laughs. Get a shot of my wonderful wife, the obedient lady that she is. Kathy, we're going to build another house, Gloria. We've been talking about that for years because we're waiting on a certain piece of property because I want the oak trees to be big. I don't want to wait them little, I want them big. So, but the only reason we need another house, the only reason is closets. I ain't going to lie about closets. Kathy's done took over two attics already beside her own closet. But see, Kathy's a giver. So she'll say, hey, Jesse, I'm not home very much. I'm traveling all the time. She say, Jesse, open up your truck now. I want to bring some clothes to some of the girls. Now, Kathy got some nice clothes. She got them St. John. She got them Gucci. She got them Chanel. She got Christian Dior. She loves the initial CD. To her, it's Kathy DePlanis. I said, no, Kathy, that's Christian Dior. Yes, that's my initials. The Lord want me to have that. No. CD. Now, watch this. So they got a lot of girls that work for me that are about her size. St. John's and all of that. I mean, stuff. You're talking some money here. You don't buy this at Walmart. If you said St. John at Walmart, people get on their knees and pray. They don't even know what St. John is. It's the truth. They don't know what no St. John is. So anyway, all of a sudden, man, she'll bring 5, 6, 7 outfits. Them suckers cost anywhere from $1,000 to $2,000 to $2,500 a pop. She just take them to the office. And she say, talk to them, the girl, hey, y'all want some of this? Want some? Oh, they're all waiting, going, oh, yes, thank you, Sister Kathy. Oh, bless. And they all look nice. Well, she's been doing that quite a while because I said, Lord Jesus, man. You know, because when you're on television, I've had people write me and say, you wore that tie 3 months ago. Okay. How many times you wore your underwear? I get tired of that stuff, man. Lord Jesus. That's because I can make nothing, but people are very picky. You know, they notice things. So here she go. She bringing all this stuff. And I'm thinking, oh, God, man. God, she's sowing. Lord, and that's okay, but Lord Jesus, we're going to reap. Oh. So I'm thinking, this is what I'm thinking. I'm going to have to replace all this. Because the Lord's going to use Jesse to do it, which is okay. So I went and preached. I came back about 1:30 in the morning. I'm always flying back. I mean, yesterday, I crossed the United States yesterday. I was flying by the yesterday. Make a long story. 1:30, I come in, boom, I hit these boxes in my house. I mean, big boxes all over the kitchen floor, in the kitchen nook and all that kind of, the breakfast nook. I said, what is this? Good God, what is all this? She's been shopping with the 18-wheeler. What did she do? Jesus. Oh, God. See, Kathy gets these revelations. My American Express came in. Would you like to pay it for me? Oh, yeah, that's what I live for. And I give her a hard time. Someone sent Kathy 34 St. John outfits. 34. That's a lot of money. I mean, nice clothes. I thought, my, what do you want? She said, this lady sent it to, she heard you preaching a sermon and you blessed her and she sent it to me. Okay. Women been ripping us off since the Garden of Eden. I ain't kidding you. They ain't got a chance. I said, I'm the one preached the thing. She sent 34 outfits. That's a lot of money. I said, first thing I thought of, oh, God, there goes my closet. We got the attics full. We got her, where are we going to put all this? It's overflow. We can't contain it. So she said, well, I know some pastors, wives you preach for that could really use some of this, and I love it too. And she said, I'm going to send some. So she starts sending outfits. I don't know. She's already given away how many? 24? 20, 25 of them. That's a lot of money. Suckers cost $1,500, $2,000 a pop. Watch this. So I'm looking at her, she's just sending us all. And of course, the pastor's wives are calling, oh, they're crying. And I said, God, Lord, Kathy, what are you doing? She looked at me, she said, you ain't never been like that when it came to giving. I said, no, I don't mind you giving, but there's going to be an 18-wheeler truck show up at the house here. What are we going to do with all this stuff? That's overflow. You can't contain it. You got to get to a point where you go, please, Jesus, show me somebody that I can give some of this money to. Jesus, I don't know. I invested in mutual funds, stocks, bonds. I own real estate, car. Lord, help me. Oh, God, just looking for, because you don't have enough time. I mean, you want overflow. Now, I know some of y'all say, oh, that's just greed. No, to you, that's materialism. To Kathy, that's manifestation. I may preach on that later. If you can contain what God has for you, then you're not in overflow. You know God never fills a cup, he runs it over? Let's go to that Luke 6:38. Look at that. Let's just look at it. Give, okay, and it shall be given unto you. That should be good enough. That's all. But Luke 6:38 says, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Then he tells you who's going to do it. Shall men give unto your bosom or yourself? For with the same measure you meet withal, that's King James, it shall be measured to you. So you pick the denomination. God picks the multiplication. It's all done within your hands. Now, you see, you wouldn't think overflow would come like that. But see, it doesn't work the way you... Overflow is never taken by surprise. It's never overtaxed by the need, and it's never tied to our way of thinking. See, it's pressed down, shaken, get run. Now, what is that for? You would call that spillage. You ever seen a baby start pouring a glass of milk? Don't you get nervous when a child 2 or 3 years old grabs some milk? Because you know what? They like milk on the table, on the floor. And you're going, oh, no. Okay, stop, 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 the baby. That's God. You know, I wrote a book in 1992, when accepted, two others being accepted greatly. Now, people are buying it called, God's not enough. He's too much. See, it was dealing with overflow back in 92. Too much grace, too much mercy. You know he's going to save somebody you don't like. You know he's going to do it. And you're just waiting for somebody to go to hell and they get saved. You go, oh. You just wanted some judgment instead of love. I love that Billy Graham statement. My God. See, the more you eat from overflow, the more there is for you to eat. Do you know them 5,000 people eating that two-piece fish dinner? They kept eating and eating and eating and eating, and there was more food being multiplied. More, see, God, he just kept coming. As long as you eating, he's feeding. Yeah, I tell you what, some of you that go to church, y'all don't eat much, you're starving. Well, he does. He's not a waster. But if you eating, he's feeding. What are you saying? The more you eat from overflow, the more there is for you to eat. That's amazing to me. So I used to think, well, the Lord had to correct my thinking. When the Lord would meet a project of mine in my ministry, I would say, well, praise God. But he wasn't, just because the project was finished, he wasn't finished. He's always more than enough. Always more than enough. Always more. It's kind of like a man gets surprised. You got to understand this about men. Men don't understand accessories. They're starting to more and more now. But years ago, if a man bought a woman a dress, he thought he was finished. No. You got the dress, then you got to get a purse. Then you got to get some shoes. And that's only the stuff you can see. That's called accessorizing. I was in Australia. I have offices in Australia and also in Europe. Make a long story short, I went over there and did a tour, had a phenomenal people. I mean, it was wonderful. Make a long story short, you know, I'd been gone a week, I guess, I don't know, maybe 10 days, something like that. And Kathy liked purses, you know, she always liked every kind of purse you can think of. So I start walking around Melbourne, Australia. And this lady said, can I help you? I said, do you know, is there a Louis Vuitton place here? Oh, yes, Louis Vuitton. You must be an American. I said, yeah, I guess. She said, go down this street, turn right, and on the corner is a Louis Vuitton place. So I said, okay. So I go down there. And Kathy wanted a certain purse that just come out that nobody had. In other words, they hadn't got them out yet. I don't know the name of the thing. Manhattan. That's right? Closer. So I walk in there and I see this. I said, do you have a Manhattan? Oh, yes. When they pulled it out, I went, nah. I said, that don't look like the picture. I said, that looks a lot smaller. Do you have a mid-size? Is that a mid-size, small size? Do you have a different size? Well, we have a big size. I said, no, she don't. That's a suitcase. I don't want that. I said, that's it right there. That, this thing. Let me help me. Glory to God. Oh, there, right here. This is it right here. Okay. So, but you see, it looked a lot bigger in the ad. I said, I don't know. I said, could Kathy like to carry my stuff? Yeah. You know, it's like the carrot stuff. I mean, this thing's heavy, you know. So I said, because this is worth some dollars, you know. I said, well, I don't want to just, if it's too small, I'll just give it to somebody. I said, well, I better wait. I'll wait when I get back. I'll ask if she wants it. So I told her, I said, Kathy, I went to Louis Vuitton. I said, but it don't look like the ad. Oh, Jess, that's so kind of you to think of me. You are such a blessing. That's all I can tell you about that part. But anyway, so a week later, Gloria's here. Now, if she wasn't here, I'd tell you, but I ain't going to tell you. So about a week later, I fly out somewhere. I don't know. I think I had to go to Miami or something to go preach. So she take off in the car. I called her. I hear this. I said, where are you going? She said, I thought I'd go down to Saks Fifth Avenue there and just look around. I said, okay. So she went around. They got a Louis Vuitton shop inside that thing. She see that purse. She never called me and asked me, should she buy it? No. When I got back, she said, guess what? Guess what? Your heart's desire has come to pass. My heart's desire. My heart's desire. She said, Jesse, I found it. I said, you did? I said, yeah, but you don't think so? No, it's perfect. She said, no, I just knew you wanted me to have it. She was right. Now, that's not greed. Because, you see, I already had expressed. See, I was already trying to get some overflow to her, but I wanted to make sure that the overflow was the right overflow. You see what I'm saying? So she had all rights to go get it since I couldn't find it or the way I saw the other size of which I didn't particularly care for. Make a long story short, it all came to pass. But see, I'm telling you, she had the right to do that. Because I already was going out and making a plan for that overflow to come to her. What are you saying? Desire always draws a blessing. Oh, I love that. If you expect to be successful, success will find you. See, I expect to be successful. And success finds me. Now, I don't mean that arrogantly. There are a lot more people more successful than I am. But I mean, whatever I believe for has come to pass. Because, you see, I told God I wouldn't promise him nothing. I'd prophesy something to him. So my prophecy is history wrote in advance, and God's prophecy is history wrote in advance, because if you get beyond the realm of a promise to a prophetic utterance, it'll hold you to it. But you see, if you break a promise, that's bad, but not real bad. But boy, if a prophecy don't come to pass, that's real bad. That's called missing God, isn't it? It's on a higher level. Let me say it again. Desire always draws a blessing. If you expect to be successful, success will find you. See, the power in you has the ability to pull the power of faith out of another person. Write this down. This will help you. I'm going to close with this. Just for this session. The power in you has the ability to pull the power of faith out of another person. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let me read it again as you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. The power in you has the ability to pull the power of faith out of another person. In other words, the power that's in you has such a powerful ability and such an attraction that it'll pull faith out of someone else. Look what it says in 2 Timothy. Let me go to it myself. I want to read it to you. Let me get to it real quick here. Galatians B. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Come on. Let me get over here. My Bible is falling apart. Remember me saying if your Bible is torn apart, your life is not? Boy, I mean, it is coming apart, Lord Jesus. I got books out of place now. I do. You think I'm kidding you? Look, see, it's all torn apart. I love this old Bible, bless God. I know where it's at. But sometimes I stick them in there. You know, different places. Where did I put 2 Timothy? It's, you think I'm kidding you, man? There it is. It's by revelation. No, I'm sorry. I'm serious. See, it's all torn apart. Take a shot at it. People think I'm lying. I love my old Bible. Praise God. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Look what Paul told Timothy. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. Watch this. Which is in thee. How was it done? By the putting on of my hands. What are you saying? I'm saying, picture went over here. The power in you has the ability to pull the power of faith out of another person. He said, because I touched you. And I release that gift that God so graciously had given me into you. Stir it up. Stir it up. Stir it up. Now that's audacity of faith. That's expecting great things. So when healing school comes, stir up and start today saying, I will get my healing. If not Saturday, I'll get it now. Stir that up. Because you see, you might have cancer. And that's a battle. But that battle's not your choice. You wouldn't choose cancer. But the outcome of that battle is you can win and be healed. Now, I know some people don't believe in healing at 100%. But you cannot, you don't dice God up and section him up. He said, by his stripes you were healed. He didn't say 80% of you or 60%. I thought, God doesn't heal all the time. What? Well, then he's a liar. Oh, no, you're looking at it too strong. No, I'm just reading it the way it's read. By his stripes you were healed. Now, why? Let me go back to that. Why are you blaming God for your inadequacy to receive what he said? Do you know the Lord had salvation waiting for me, but if I wouldn't accept it, I'd went to hell? But you know, people say, well, the Lord doesn't save everybody. Well, he's made provision for everybody to be saved. All you got to do is accept it. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like going to a restaurant. You can talk about, man, I'm hungry, but if you don't go, they got all the kind of food you want to eat, but if you don't go there, you ain't going to get it. Right? So I expect. Well, have you prayed for people that didn't receive healing? Yes, but that didn't stop me from praying. It's like one man told me the other day. He said, boy, Brother Jesse, we prayed, but fasted and did everything. And Sister So-and-so died. I said, did she die in faith? He said, what? I said, did she die in faith? He said, what are you asking? I said, what part of that you don't understand? Did she die in faith or did she die in doubt? He said, she died in faith. Boy, when I said that, it clicked. She died in faith. I said, what's your problem? I said, the Bible said in Hebrews 11 that these all died in faith, not receiving the promise. Maybe she saw something that your finite mind can't see. Have you ever thought that at that point that she slips out, that Jesus showed up and said, girl, I'll heal you from the top of your head, soles of your feet, or you can come here. Now, I know what you said. You can't prove that's true. You can't prove it's not. But I'll tell you this much. I got more proof on my side than on your side, because the Bible said these all died in faith, not receiving the promise, so they would obtain a better resurrection. They saw something you didn't see. And when we get to heaven, she'll say, that's why I didn't come back. Are y'all enjoying this as much as I am? This is overflow. The abundance producing power of expecting great things. Now, let me go back to my first verse here. 1 Corinthians 10:26. For the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. Let me tell you how I interpret that. How I prophesy that to me. This place belongs to me. This planet. God created it for me. Created it for you. And if you don't think he got a sense of humor, he started out creating everything else. We were the last creation. He created everything else. Then he got to the vegetables, and then he got to the animals, the gorillas and the chimpanzees and all that kind of stuff. Then he said, let us make Jesse. And let's give him dominion. Did he say that to the gorilla? Did he say that to the fish? Even though the fish lives in another world. Give him dominion. Oh, Lord. Domain. I said, why did you make me last? Why did he make you last? He said, so I could make my word come to pass. I said, the last shall be first. He said, I saved my best for last so I could make you first. Now, then he says this, so simple, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue. Got to get that word subdue. There's a hint, snake coming. Snake coming. The snake talked to your wife, put the snake down. He didn't say, get ready for sickness. Hard time, good times. No, he said as long as the earth remained, it'd be seed time, harvest time. See, religion and religious laws put all that other stuff in there. Brother Copeland said something about 10 years ago. I never forgot. He said if it wouldn't, I love this statement he said. He said this, the Lord spoke this to him. If there wouldn't have been sin, God would have never had a serious thought. Now, you got to meditate on that for a minute. What? Oh, here's another one. The shadow of a dog, it never bit nobody. Now, can't you hear the alarm clock? I know that means something, but I don't have a foggy idea what that is yet. Well, before you speak against it, because you can't have what you speak against, meditate. Put that on the shelf. Let that work on you, and you work on it. You see what I'm saying? And I love what he said. If it wouldn't have been for sin, God would have never had a serious thought. Do you know what we'd be doing today if it wouldn't have been sin? God would be playing with us in the Garden of Eden. We'd be having our children, be sitting around just enjoying ourselves. Lord, think about that. He never created it to fall into sin. Well, he did that. No, he didn't do that. We did that. He gave us some dominion. And now, what are you going to do with this power? God expected Adam not to be hiding around a tree with a fig leaf on. That probably was the first healing. I don't doubt that caused a rash. But you know, when you're brand new, you ain't got no sense. You ain't got a lick of sense. You know, when you go through things, you ought to learn some. Don't you think so? Adam, where art thou? Sometimes I wonder if he didn't say, I'm behind this tree scratching myself. I did a stupid thing, Jesus. No, he didn't say that. Adam, where art thou? I've hid myself. What? No, it's our time. It's our time together, Adam. I was afraid. Oh. I'm going to be dealing in one of my sessions on overflow. Some people can't receive it because they're too careful when they pray. Oh. Y'all don't want to miss any of my sessions. I'm telling you. I'm going to try to hold my humor as much as I can. I want to put some revelation. I want you to, because see, this is an overflow, not day, not month, but year. That means all the time. And the only way you'll get it is by expecting and believing. Me and Kathy are believing for great things. Brother and Sister Copeland believing for great things. Brother and Sister Zavell believing for great things. Brother and Sister Dollar believing for great things. All these speakers, all our musicians, everybody believing for great things. Right? And so are you. Do you understand? It's time. Yeah, here, boss. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's so hard not to speak it in tongues. It's time for harvest. It's just time. It's time to sit back and let it come in, buddy. But it'll never happen unless you expect it. And it'll never happen if you speak against it. And if you get satisfied with just enough, you haven't even come to the place of your destiny or your destination. You got to get to a point in your life where you say, God, not my will, but thine be done in every area.